help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us sing. Let us continue this worship service by singing the Song of Zacharias, stanzas 1 and 2. Zacharias, the Song of Zacharias, stanzas 1 and 2.
Just the great God.
scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Isaiah chapter 9. But first we will confess our faith with the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. And when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and shootness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. And therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The anxious and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is in the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is hypocrite, and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And for wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the beers and torrents, and shall kindle in the thickness of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. And through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank thee for gathering us together in thy house of prayer. This first Christmas day we may commemorate the birthday of thy begotten Son. For thou so loved the world, that thou gave thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have eternal life. O Lord, we pray for an application of salvation, that Christ may be born in our heart. For thou art worthy to be praised by thy newborn children, and that it may become a real Christmas in our hearts, worked by the Holy Spirit. And we have read about the glad tidings of the newborn child, but that we may be involved concerning the glad tidings, like the shepherds in the field of Ephrathah were involved to hear the glad tidings of the newborn child. Lord, make room in our hearts for thy dear Son, that our hearts may become a stable of beasts to welcome the Lord Jesus in it. O, let us rejoice in thee, to worship thee like the shepherds did in the stable of Bethlehem. Let us be a witness of thy begotten Son, to preach his gospel to all nations, to all people, also to the end of the world. O Lord, open the scripture and open our hearts, that thy word may be preached with confidence and love. Be in our midst and bless thy own word to our hearts, we pray thee. For Jesus' sake, Amen. Beloved, the text of our preaching, which we wish to consider with the help of the Lord, can be found in the part of the scripture we have read, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that we will read again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But before we will explain our text, we will sing the Song of Simeon, the first two stanzas. The Song of Simeon, the first two stanzas. beloved, Christmas points to Christ. Christmas is a feast of salvation, and a feast can only be experienced in our hearts. And the birth of Jesus is all about hope for the hopeless. And Christmas is not a visible feast, a feast with lightened Christmas trees and ornaments, not even a feast of commercial potluck dinners and gorging people, but it is as a spiritual feast, it is a spiritual feast and a glad tiding for us. For the text sounds, for a child is born and a son is given unto us. Well, you may say that sounds general, and it is, because nobody is excluded, only man excluded himself by unbelief. And this glad tiding of the newborn child comes to all of us. But it works in a twofold outcome. Because if this glad message remain an outward calling in our life, then we will perish. And may the Lord give that this message of glad tiding may be an inwardly calling with power in our hearts. So Christ is given unto us, to the world, a world lost in sin. A child is born unto us, lost sinners in our midst. But be aware, lost sinners need delivery of sin, because sin is a power. We have said it this morning, sin is a power. And the Lord's people will be delivered from three powers. The sin of unbelief, of the power of unbelief, the power of sin, and the power of the devil. And we have to know it by experience. Because nobody can deliver himself from the power of unbelief. And nobody can deliver himself of the power of sin. Now, if you feel you are in bondage of the law, a prisoner of the devil, hear the gospel. The deliverance of sin is born, and his name is called Jesus. The Lord Jesus is our deliverance of sin. Jesus is Savior. He is my deliverance of sin, because he is the Son of God. And the Son of God has authority to forgive sin, to make sinners alive, dead sinners alive. And beloved, he is still doing that today. And he will do that until the end of the world. So I will preach you the most glad tiding ever heard. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And this word spoken of so frequently as this time of the year particularly came in this morning and in this evening and seemed to open rather differently from what it has done many times before. And I see in this world this evening very particularly that the government shall be upon his shoulder. And for we are passing through serious time in the nation economically. And the condition is so bad that unless the Lord put forth his hand, none of us knows what will happen. It is a solemn day economically, and there are many among us as a people surely who fear these things. And what a mercy it is if the first part of our text applies to us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this child, beloved, we know is Jesus, and this Jesus is the Son of God, and he came into this world with one purpose only: salvation for lost sinners. The first purpose was to glorify the name of the Father, to honor the Father. But also salvation for lost sinners is involved. That's no chance work, but decreed before time began, before the world was made, before man was created. In that covenant of peace, it was settled in eternity past that the people was to be saved with an everlasting salvation. And that people was to be separated in the time state by the third glorious person in the Trinity. And the Spirit of God separated them, separated from themselves, separated from ever from the curse that lay upon sin. And beloved, this precious man, the Son of God, was to be made man and to come into this world to be born a child, born of a woman under the law, made flesh and blood without sin. The eternal Son of God to come for this people. It is a great matter again and again. Did he come for me? There's an important question. There's a question, life or death. And now, beloved, if you and I have an interest in this great work of salvation, and we have evidence in our lives that this child, that holy child, Jesus, was born into this world, and if we have that interest under the eternal purpose and power of the Spirit of God, at the government of all our concerns for time and eternity is laid upon him. And what a wonderful mercy this is, beloved, for to deal with this first point I made, the state of our nation economically, which affect every one of us. The continual reports that in the coming year the cost of living is to go up and up, and on account of condition the nation is in, it may well be, it will be, that the people of God will be affected economically. But what a great mercy, beloved, if you and I should fall in this way under the condition of nation. Our times are in his hand, all events at his command. You may say, is there a foundation for this? There is, my beloved. Because this precious man, whom we remember today, and whom the world remembers, came into this world born of a woman to fulfill the holy law of God in every jot and tittle. And he came with that great purpose, to satisfy the demands of this holy God for his people, not for himself. For this dear man, the Son of God, is holy, perfect, and there is no sin in him. And there was no need to walk in this pathway of perfection to make peace with God for himself. It was for a people utterly ruined in the fall, you and me. And here is the great matter, utterly ruined, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and in practice, in the time state, because of an utterly ruined nature, a wicked, deceitful heart running in ways that are an abomination to God. Now Jesus came into this lower world to satisfy the demands of this holy God, and by imputation to make his people perfect in what he had done. And this dear man, beloved, ultimately passed out of times in satisfying the demands of infinite justice, that payment should be made for sin, for the abomination of this people, and by imputation they were justified in the sight of God. So satisfaction was given to infinite justice by ignominious death of this dear man, a precious Christ. And you asked for a foundation. Now here is the foundation. He rose again, having satisfied the demands of this holy God, and made his holy law holy again, and given satisfaction to the demands of justice, payment by blood for the abominations committed by his people. Now his people stands complete in him. He rose again, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and the government of his people lives in time and throughout eternity to come is laid upon him. And what evidence have we got, beloved? The youngest of us here has a soul, and what a need there is to be right, and what a great mercy it is that none of us can do anything towards that being right in the sight of God. And the cynics of this world will sneer at that, and they tell us then there is no need even to seek to do things right in the sight of God. But the mercy is that the whole work of salvation was accomplished by God himself, and his purpose being eternal are settled, finished, and he works in an orderly way. He works according to the counsel of his own determined will. So, his people, every one of them, will be called by grace in time, with power of the Holy Ghost. And yet the work is complete in the life and death and resurrection of the Son of God. But in the time state each shall be made known as chosen vessels of mercy, and each shall have made known in his own heart the heinousness of sin, that which brought about this great need, the life and death and the resurrection of Christ. And be aware, the youngest here has a never dying soul. But what an infinite mercy, be my beloved, all things having been settled, if the Lord has set his love upon the youngest here. And that one shall enter into his glory. To those who have a measure of understanding again from the youngest to the oldest, the Lord will make known the way. And it is a good thing, beloved, to seek from time to time some evidence of our calling. Because the Apostle Peter says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, have we any evidence in our lives that this God has in mercy separated us from ourselves, first separated us from those things that belong to our carnal nature, and given us a new heart to walk in the ways that are right? For these things, beloved, right things in the sight of God, alien to ruin nature, has the Lord made us pray? That's the question. A Christmas evening service is no different from any other service. The pathway to heaven will be a pathway of prayer, and it will be a pathway of repentance after receiving grace. It will be a pathway of forgiveness. It will be a pathway of communion. It will be a pathway from time to time of affliction. Because the devil is hunting after God's people. And the Lord brings his people into an experience. But have we got any? And you know we cannot rest on forms, frames, feelings. There are evidence, my beloved, experimentally. If the Lord has touched you and me in our hearts, we shall pray. And that prayer from time to time will be with regard to our every life. Do you pray, beloved? And there is a foundation given, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. But there will be evidence of this in our lives if the Lord has begun a work in Christ with us. We shall not turn in our strength, we shall not turn altogether in our own wisdom, because our wisdom is foolishness. And in our everyday lives, we shall need this God to make a way for us. Do we pray? Have we learned to pray? To cry for forgiveness as an unworthy sinner. And again, my beloved, none of us knows that tomorrow may bring. And this God gives his people an experience whereby they can look back and see the way the Lord has helped them in the past day. And he gives them precious faith to take hold of him again. And he gives them that precious, precious grace of submission at times too. And heavy evidence of these things. For if the morrow should bring for any of us here something that our flesh feels it cannot stand, it will be a mercy to prove that the government shall be upon his shoulder. For this precious Jesus, to whom many will speaking today, he waits to be gracious. And have you got a case for him today? These are those who have sorrow today in the midst of what we would call a time of rejoicing. And the people of God are found amongst a poor and afflicted people, and the afflictions sometimes are physical afflictions. And there will be those days today who have need of this Jesus to grant unto them to feel a little of his wondrous peace, the Prince of Peace, to quicken their hearts, perhaps to deliver them from rebellion. And there will be some today bereaved, that it is the time of year when many die, and there are those that are left, the people of God, bereaved, sorrowful. And there are those who have loved ones and able to meet with them and able to rejoice with them in their homes this day. Now Jesus waits to be gracious. And there will be many separated this time, families perhaps that would meet together, but the circumstances of our times make it impossible for them to meet. This precious man waits to be gracious, because the government shall be upon his shoulder. And there will be those, and sometimes there are found in the house of God, even on this day, who are weary of the way. Why? Because of sin. And this is a strange thing you may ask, is this a strange thing on Christmas Day? Sin takes no account of the time of year. Sin belongs to man. And the enemy goes about like a flood, seeking to bring sin into operation, and it doesn't make any difference to him. So, and what a mercy, beloved, this world is a living world. This word is a living word. Want it is said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And if you and I are found among the people of God, if you and I have evidence in our past lives, in our past lives, that He has answered prayer, set in our hearts a need of Himself, and enable us in a particular time of need to commit our way unto Him. And then He has managed the way for us. He is the same God today. He will be the same God to the end of the journey. For the government shall be upon His shoulder. Yeah. This is all about Christ. He is the way, the truth and the life. And your pathway and mine will be in the hands of Jesus if we believe in Him. And it will be the right way, beloved, because He is the way. And you and I, right of the end of time, have a great thing to learn. And it is not easy to learn. It's impossible to learn. And that is the sovereignty, because God is sovereign, the sovereignty of God. He has set the pathway for each one of us according to His own eternal purpose and degree. And He knows all about us. He knows our disposition. And He knows the tendency to evil, that it is in the heart of every one of us. And He has ordered our pathway as He knows it suits us. And I'm talking to the reconciled people of God, special, because the gospel is not a message of general reconciliation. Unto us, people of God, a child is born and a son is given. Unto us, lost sinners, a child is born and a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what a great mercy then that nothing that comes in a way can destroy us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing shall take away that which has been eternally settled, that inheritance glory. And it's not easy. It is, beloved, when things go wrong, to fall under it. And on this particular day, Christmas Day, when so many will be rejoicing, if one has got a crook in the lot, some strange things in the pathway, and today perhaps it seems to be in particular evidence, it is not easy, it is, to fall under it. But the word of God endureth forever. Hear it again. So many times, it is quoted, but it is a blessed word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And this is his word, beloved. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And whatever your pathway is, however tricky it may be to your feelings, sinners, lost sinners, people of God, of whom it will concern, At times, this happens. However men may oppress you, Jesus waits to be gracious again and again. If he has spoken in our hearts once, one time, and then he will establish his own word unto the end of our life. But there is an appointed time for deliverance. And if that deliverance is not until the end of the journey, it still will come for the elected people of God. And while there is a continuance under the trial, whatever that is, the government is upon his shoulder. The shoulder of your Jesus, and underneath are the everlasting arms of an eternal God. There will be a sustaining, there will be an upholding, There will be a consolation from time to time. There will be a comfort from the God of all comforts. The flesh doesn't like that way. Mine doesn't, beloved. It will not make any difference. The precious, precious Jesus, his eye is upon his people. Every one of them. And whatever they may feel in themselves, he has one eternal purpose towards them, and that is that they shall endure to the end and ultimately be found in glory with him. That salvation that is be taught in the eternity between the Father and the Son. And no man was in between. But about today, beloved, we have come into this little house of prayer. We have come surely to remember Jesus, who came into this world to save lost sinners. And we have come this morning and this evening to remember his birth. To go over it quickly again, this precious man came into this world because the Lord loved a people. He sent his only begotten Son, his co-equal, co-eternal Son. He sent him into this lost world to save lost sinners. And as he came into this world, he came humbly, born in a manger, taken into an inn where there was no room for him. And though the Lord would make declaration of this wondrous thing that he had taken place, he gave the shepherds in the field saving knowledge of it. We have heard this morning. And the host of angels rejoiced over him, but at the same time the enemy was working. For the wise men saw his star in the east and were set to find him, and the enemy worked you have heard Herod the king. Satan's object from the very beginning was to destroy the work of God, to destroy the Son of God. And Herod asked the wise men to go back and tell him where Jesus was. And that hypocritical man said that I may go and worship him also. But the object, as seen in the outcome, was to destroy him. But the wise men, being told to go back another way, didn't return to Herod. And the consequence of that was that his order went forth, and that all the children up to 2 years old were to be destroyed, to be killed. And the work of Satan continues today. And the government of salvation is upon the shoulder of this precious man, the God-man, Jesus. And though the enemy still continues and will endeavor in your case and mine, but if the Lord has put his precious grace in our hearts to separate us from God, from our God, and though the mysteries, the great mysteries in life, our poor, finite minds cannot understand, as oftentimes a sovereign God permits Satan to do many things, and there never will be the ultimate that he desires, destruction or separation. The government of your concerns and mine then is upon his shoulder, if he belongs to Christ. The government of your concerns and mine is upon his shoulder. And oh, may he help us this day and tomorrow and every day of our life then to take of those things that he has provided for us, for each of us. And I have thought a little about these things during the last few days, and have come to the conclusion that perhaps sometimes we are apt to turn away from which a kind, gracious God has given for the enjoyment of his creatures. Perhaps there is a tendency to fear that we may do those things that are wrong in his sight. But I believe there are many, many things in this life that are quite lawful. And the Lord gives them for the comfort of man. And surely, if there is a desire in our reborn hearts to walk in the fear of the Lord, He will not leave us in the hands of the adversaries, as we seek to make this day a day of rejoicing. And sometimes, my beloved, I fear the enemy will use the things that belongs to religious men to bring them into a place of satisfaction in what they do. He brings them to a place where they might even feel they are pleasing God by doing it, and yet there be nothing in it but fear. And if you and I then know the pathway of prayer, a seeking to commit our way unto Him, a seeking that as we move about in the normal things of life, He will guide us, keep us, protect us, not only from outward things, but from ourselves. And then it will be well. So there is only salvation in Christ. And I am sure there is nothing wrong in the rejoicing with our beloved and with our loved ones, seeking, though we cannot keep our souls alive, that we may keep these deep spiritual things in the forefront, yet seeking that the Lord will help us to rejoice in the foundation that His own dear Son came into this world, into this lower world, to give us salvation. And may the Lord help us then, as we meet our friends today or another day, and if it can please Him too, to give us a thought beyond time things. And may it be to glorify His holy name, to be a witness of Christ, and to talk about Him. And it is not something, my beloved, that stands out as an evidence of the work of God in us, that we mourn from time to time over our inability to turn our hearts to Himself rather than to time things. But do we believe that all men have this in their hearts? It is only the work of God manifest in a sinner that at times causes his heart to cry out, my leanness. Brought to realize that of himself he can do nothing but live in his flesh. That even at such time as this, as we remember, as we commemorate the birth of Christ, and in his house, we cannot bring ourselves into a place of true worship in Christ unless the Lord does it. And that is the experience of the people of God. We cannot move one finger without Christ. And then, beloved, I believe that if you know something of God's justice and a little of Christ, it is the work of God. And we know that what the Lord does in Christ, He does it forever. The Lord doesn't say today yes and tomorrow no. No. No, that's impossible. His yes is yes, and His no is no. And when God touches the poor sinner in his heart and opens his eye to see his inability to serve Him rightly, it is because He wants to draw him to Christ. But we are blind. We are blind, totally blind, for the way of conversion. So, my beloved, if the Lord has brought us into this place of understanding, unto us a child is born, the Holy Child Jesus, though this day may be with us many, many times, a day of formality, and it gives us no right at all to look at others who rejoice only in an opportunity to satisfy their flesh. Yet this Christ was born into the world to make us different, not inwardly in the first place, but in Him. God's people is all is complete in Him. Not because of our behavior, but in Him. And this child was born into the world to make a way for those who are given to Him by the Father, to call upon His, to call, that they call upon a holy God and find acceptance in what Christ has done, and to a son is given. Not to all men, for it says, unto us. Yeah, that is the language of faith. The language of the shepherds in the field of Ephrata. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I announce to you who, that's personal, glad tidings of great joy which shall be to all the people, for today a Savior has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. But generally speaking, the child is also given by God to all people, for God has sent His Son to the world, generally speaking. And it is allowed to every one of us to make use of Him, but by faith only. By faith only. There is no way outside of faith. Only those who believe in Him will be saved. Yeah, simply said maybe, but the work of the Spirit starts not with faith. Do you know what I'm saying? The works of the Spirit starts not with faith, but with conviction of sin. I'm talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking of regeneration. I'm talking about the work of the Holy Spirit that starts with conviction. Conviction of sin. Conviction of sin is no preparation for regeneration. Remember that. No. But to make a sinner unconditionally to an unconditional gospel. Because God has given His Son to justify the ungodly. And this dear Son of God was given that a way might be made for a people to continue in a dying world, in a body of sin, and death to stand the assaults of Satan, which are often deep assaults, and yet never to be overcome. No. Lord's people is mostly lost. Yeah. The Son was given to be a propitiation for our sins. And this Son was given that we might find access at the throne of grace, to find access of the throne of grace, time and again. And there obtain mercy, sustenance, deliverance. Unto us a Son is given, whereby from time to time we shall be able to pour our hearts at the throne of grace, confess our sin, and find deliverance through His precious mediatorial work, deliverance through the atonement and the shed blood of this dear man who in the fullness of time gave up His holy life for sins as a sacrifice. Because it says, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Now if we believe in this precious Jesus, your life and mine are in the hands of a kind and gracious God. And His eye is upon us, His ear open unto our cry, His ear is open to our cry, to our prayers, Himself going before us in the way, so that none of us, though we often turn into bypath meadow, shall ever be lost in the depths, ever be separated from our God, or ever swallowed up by that great adversary of souls who waits to destroy, because the government shall be upon His shoulder. And He goes before His people into Galilee. This precious man, the God-man, now waits against that great day when He shall gather together one glorious triumphant church. And this dear man, beloved, whose name will be remembered while the earth remains, Jesus, the friend of sinners, will be that precious name into which the righteous run and are safe, and that which follows in the text will ever be proved in the experience of his people, you and me. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But first we will sing Psalter 15, the stanzas 1, 2, 3. Psalter 15, the stanzas 1, 2, 3. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant sign, evermore thy glory shines. And what follows in the stanzas 1 through 3, Psalter 15. Thank you. his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And beloved, always the Church has understood this prophecy and repeated in its song and sermon 1,000 times as referring to our Lord Jesus, and correctly so. And that the Church of the Old Dispensation is here enjoined to sing for joy for him is evident from the words themselves. What other child was ever born to man, to the Church? What other son was ever given unto her, to whom even the boldest imagination could apply the names that are here mentioned of this son? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And who was there among the sons of men whose very name could be called Wonderful or Counselor? Or if human imagination might conjure up such a being, how could he ever presume to be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father himself? And where among men is he that is entitled to the name Prince of Peace? And wonderful, my beloved, that in that he ever condescended to look upon us. Wonderful in that he separated us and made us chosen vessels of mercy, people of God in our midst. He, the Prince of Peace, is characterized by peace in all his appearance, mission, work, and dominion. To establish peace, he came into the world. To rule in peace forever, he labors and toils and battles and suffers and goes down into the nethermost parts of the earth. For peace he came to establish peace indeed, not the superficial peace that is created by conferences or courts or men, by treaties that are signed, by pacts that are sealed and that are broken by them, that make them. But through real essential peace he came to create. He came to proclaim. And quite impossible is indeed to bring peace in the relationship between men and nations where there is no peace in the heart. And quite hopeless is the expectation of peace in man's heart as long as there is no peace with God. And the futility of the attempt to establish peace where there is no peace, the world has demonstrated in late years more clearly than ever before. And they longed for peace, and war was dreaded. Of peace they spoke in speech and song and discussion around conference tables. Peace palaces were built, peace conferences were held, and disarmament agreements were attempted, and peace treaties were signed, a League of Nations was established, and yet there was never a time in which the world was so full of greed, hatred, distress, war as our own. And they speak of peace where there is no peace. Peace is a profound spiritual reality. It is a matter of our hearts. It is presupposes, and it is rooted in love. The love of one another. And the love of one another is rooted in the love of God. And the love of God is love of God. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And to us he shall be counselor. And she was counselor in the covenant of grace. And she was counselor there and settled his people forever. A counselor in the time state. And he will guide his people, being the fountain of all wisdom, being the fountain of life, forever and ever. And he shall be the mighty God, frequently opening doors for them where there are not doors, naturally overcoming enemies by his mighty power, using his great authority to make ways continually. And the everlasting Father to us orphans in a dying world, and often feeling to have no family, no interest here with any that belong to this world, but proving him to be the everlasting Father. One who cares and who will continually hear us as we lay our case before him in all our circumstances. The Prince of Peace, who quickens the troubled mind and brings his people from time to time out of the belly of hell. Feelingly, the Prince of Peace, who will frequently whisper in the ear, "Be still, and know that I am God." And this, my beloved, is Jesus, the friend of sinners. He who ever lives to make a way until there is no more need of it, until there is an entrance into glory. And now, my one desire, not only for myself, that is this day you may know peace through a way of justice. And the Lord knows every one of us here in this evening. He knows all about our lives. He knows those deep things which perhaps belong to each of us personally. And what a great favor will it be, and what a great favor it is. The government is upon his shoulder. He is able to take us through this day. He knows just what lies before each. He knows now what each of us will do when we leave his house. He know it already. And may it be our mercy. May it be our comfort. The government is upon his shoulder. The government is not on the shoulder of President Obama. The government is upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has all the might and the power in heaven and earth. And how great and mighty is the word of God, how it ever lives to support his people. This God proved himself to be the God who has said to me in an earlier day, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And that was plenty years ago, beloved. And this word is still the same. His word will remain the same. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And what a great favor, beloved, to have a God who is able to save the uttermost, all that come unto him by this precious man, the living Jesus. He is a reality. He is not a thought in our mind or something. He is a person, a divine person, sitting on the right hand of God, and his spirit is everywhere. And may the Lord add his blessing, and may that blessing be extended to each one of us. And may the Lord, in the riches of his mercy, open up to each of us this day a little of that precious man, that lovely Jesus, that we may know it is not only a day to be remembered, a day to satisfy our flesh, and there is nothing wrong with that. But if we do it in the fear of the Lord, outside of faith, God cannot be pleased. No. But to feel a little melting down in heart, to feel him, to be King Jesus to our souls forever and ever. Amen. Let us finish now with prayer. O Lord, that we may be found in the Prince of Peace by a true saving faith. Outside of faith there is no salvation. There is no comfort. There is no salvation. Christ has all the might and the power in heaven and earth, and nothing is impossible for him. There are no borders concerning Jesus' might. No. O Lord, that we may believe in him. And there are no borders on Jesus' might. Oh no, the Lord. O Lord, that we may know it by experience, that we may know it by true saving faith, that we may know his love and his peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. And give us faith, proven faith, so that we may know the power of his resurrection in every afflictions and temptations. O Lord, be with us this day, a day of commemoration concerning the birth of Christ. He came in the world to seek lost sinners and to save them. O Lord, that we may be a subject of thy seeking love. What will it be, a great wonder, O Lord, that we may be found by thee. Lord, be with us in all our circumstances. We pray for the poor, which have nothing but empty hands and empty stomach. Lord, give them what they need for daily life, but above all, give them to eat from the living bread, so that they will never be hungry again. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which goes out through thy mouth, O Lord, that we may have heard thy voice, and that it will not leave us. O Lord, provide for us what we need and prepare us in Christ for the never-ended eternity. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Be with the widows and the orphans. Be with our children. Be with us, O Lord, every day of our life. And that we may become a poor sinner in a rich Savior. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. the last songs were printed on the paper because I forgot to mention it. So we will end, we will finish with the Doxology 268. The Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.